Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Heaven Forbid. Joshua chapter 24. I normally try to go left to right through the Bible. We'll kind of try to do that today, but not necessarily. There are some things that you would just kind of say to yourself, you would think, well, heaven forbid, there's no way this could happen. There's no way I would do this. There's no way I would let this happen. Just shocking things. And there are literally some phrases in the Bible. Some of them are God forbid, or some translations are certainly not. Just kind of some emphatic, like there is just no stinking way this is going to happen, either from our perspective or even from God's perspective. One of these places, Joshua 24, 14, and some of this will be very familiar. And what's cool about doing this job is that for some people, I'm about to read stuff you have never heard in your entire life. And please, if you have been at this for a very long time, never lose that freshness, that newness, that awareness. Because maybe you have read it your whole life, maybe you've heard these things your whole life, but maybe you're not even doing them anymore. You just kind of know it's there, but don't do anything with it. So verse 14, you have to go back on your own time and read before and the after here, but let's just jump in here. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, and this is one of Joshua's famous statements, whatever you're going to do, you do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, kind of a heaven forbid here, far be it from us, God forbid, that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So that's kind of this no-brainer. Absolutely, there's no way. God has taken care of us. He's protected us. He's delivered us. He's driven people out before us. There is no stinking way that we could do anything but serve him. And then what did they do? If you keep reading through the Bible, they ditched. So be careful with your heaven forbids. Oh, I would never do that. You don't know what you would do. And I really don't know how else to put this. And I know this is going to sound maybe a little offensive. But the longer I live, the more I am aware of what a selfish pig I am. Now, I'd like to get a witness for more men than just one back there. Okay? Now, I don't know if the women in here understand what I just said, but every man listening understands what I just said. This word doesn't even exist, but we are capable of heinosities. And without God, we are all in a heap of trouble. Because even with God, we have trouble. So you say, well, no, I'm a Christian now, and I'll never do anything. I'm going back, and God's taking care of me. He saved me. He delivered me. I'm all excited about you being all excited. But be really careful when you say, that will never happen again. Because then the devil himself goes, oh, well, there we go. There's some ammo right there. We'll just beat you over the head with your own statement. And then he comes after that. You wake up every day and you say, Lord, here I am. And without you, I am going to screw this day up so bad you have no idea, because I've been doing it for a very long time. And sooner or later, you'll get sick of being a selfish pig and find yourself somewhere going, God, help me. And then you start to grow up. And maybe it's just because I'm at a certain age in my life, I've about decided that men don't even start to grow up till maybe 45. Maybe. I'm not getting much witness there. Do I have any women that would agree with that statement? Let's see. All kind of hands. We'll get to you girls in a minute. You know, if you just stop and you just went through a little simple list, if you just went through your basic stuff, you can breathe, you can think, you can do simple things. You go, Lord, I got so much to be grateful for. How could I ever abandon you? You don't abandon me. You take care of me. And then we go do stupid stuff that you think we'd say heaven forbid and that even heaven would try to forbid. But you have a will. I have a will. We can make choices. We can make the right choices and the wrong choices. You've got to decide what your tolerance for pain is in making the wrong choices. And the good news is, even if you're a complete lunatic and you have to push the envelope, the Bible says it is his kindness, it is his gentleness that leads us to repentance. And he keeps coming on and he ratchets up the consequences. He says, okay, you got it. You go, no, don't have it yet. I'll still do what I want to do. You go, okay. Here's a little bit more. And what he's doing is not just trying to hurt you. He's trying to get you to the place where you go, uncle, and then say father and say, okay, we'll do it your way because it is better anyway. Go to another one in 1 Samuel chapter 12. A few pages over. The people of God didn't like that there were just leaders. There were judges. They wanted a king. They had looked around the world and said, everybody's got a king. We got to have a king. We want somebody to run this thing. We don't want just God leading it the way he wants to do it. Get us a king. So they got themselves a king, and he turned out to be a piece of work. Saul was a nightmare. But God gave him, be careful what you ask for. God might actually give you what you ask for. And some of you women who raised your hands a minute ago, that's all on you. You asked for him, that's what you got. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 19. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to all of our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. We're knuckleheads enough as it is, and then we added asking for a king. Ask God not to kill us. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And there's a little bunch of phrases in here I want you to think about. I don't care what you have done or what I have done. Do not go back. Okay? There is nothing back there. You say, yeah, but I became a Christian. I said I'd never do these things again. And I went down and I got back up and I'm going to go back. Just because you go down, when you get up, keep moving. You say, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm such a flake, I'm such a disaster, and God won't have me, and I'm just going to backslide. You know what? Why don't you front slide? Do something different for a change. Get up and keep running the race. You're going to go down. You've gone down. You may go down again. Get up and keep moving. So Samuel's encouraging. He says, don't be afraid. In other words, you're not going to die. You've done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. The stuff that you have gone to before or you had before, it didn't profit you. It didn't deliver you. It didn't do you any good. Why would you go back to it? For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Some of the reason God puts up with me is because his name's on me. He does not leave us alone. He will not leave you. He will not quit. You'll either die or you're going to repent. But he was relentless. He will not abandon you. Now that's very encouraging to me because even when I don't call on his name, I carry his name. I am his child. He will come after me. And he's got skills. All right, keep reading here. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, and now look what the prophet says. And believe it or not, I'm reading this to me now. You can just listen. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me, in other words, God forbid or heaven forbid, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. In other words, Samuel's saying, and I got to be careful not to get so irritated with you people. Then I don't go, you know what? And literally, I think this is how it comes out. To hell with them. You don't like it when somebody says that to you because that's the worst thing you can come up with. Do you realize that is probably the worst thing you could wish on someone? He says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I'm going to keep doing what I was supposed to do, teach you the good, keep praying, keep teaching the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Go to Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, New Testament. Mark chapter 9, let's jump in at verse 33. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Now John answered, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me, for he who is not against us is on our side." I spoke to a lady today. She said she was raised in a ultra-conservative, fundamental, just every kind of thing you can pile on there, church. And I threw out some things. I said, "Well, I grew up kind of really strict too. You couldn't play dominoes or cards or dance and, you know, all that kind of mess." She said, "Or wear wire rim glasses." And I was like, wow, that trumps all my stuff. Women couldn't wear pants. You say, well, there's people out there just, they're out there. They've added all these things on there. Just because we have something we feel like that works, you meet someone else and go, well, they're not doing it our way or the way we like it. Or you know what? If it's done in Jesus' name, heaven forbid you shut them down. And if they're not speaking evil of him and it is of God, then stop point and beating them up. Jesus himself says, "For he who is not against us is on our side." And what were they doing? They were using his name. You know why it worked? Because there's power in his name. And people throw his name around all the time, and there's no power the way they use it because they're just throwing the name around. You use the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and things happen. Amen. So Jesus here is saying, don't forbid them, because no one works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me, which is a very interesting comment that he makes, because people who use his name to try to deceive people, if you stay around them long enough and close enough to them, they'll mock that name. You'll realize they don't really know him. They're just dropping some name, trying to make some money or something. Go to Mark chapter 10, the next chapter. He's already mentioned in chapter 9 about kids. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. Now look at what's going on here. It says the people brought their children. All they wanted was for Jesus to touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Now that's a scary bunch of men right there. Oh, no, we're the posse here. We got to keep you people away, these children, you know. But when Jesus saw it, he saw what they were doing. He was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them." Do not stop those children. Why? For of such is the kingdom of God. See, we get all grown up, all sophisticated. We're all that. And we can't just run into the presence of God himself anymore because we're too smart for that. We're playing hide and go seek, but we're all grown up playing the wrong kind of hide and go seek. How you doing, Jesus? I'll catch you later. Instead of that little kid abandoned that just runs, and jumps in the arms. And Jesus says, do not stop these kids, because that's what it's supposed to look like right there. If you are truly God's child and things are going okay, there's going to be some daddy in you. The Bible describes it as some Abba Father. They use that word Abba for daddy. I kind of jump in his arms. Bless me. I didn't really need anything. I just wanted to be close to you. Just hold me. There's a couple of verses in Romans chapter 6. Go over there for me just a minute. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Now the danger with the whole grace thing, if there can be any danger, is you go, boom, I'm set. He's going to love me no matter what. I can just go do what I want to do. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So let's just go do what we want to do, live like hell, and then we'll just use up all this grace. He says, God forbid. The King James Version here says, God forbid. The New King James says, certainly not. Or heaven forbid here, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Absolutely not. So you say, well, I can be forgiven. There's all this grace. You cannot eliminate consequence. Yes, there is grace. Yes, there's mercy. Yes, there's forgiveness. And even to the analogy of a dad who loves his kids, you know, I love all my kids, but I discipline my children. And it may not have been fun or popular, but if you love your child, you will discipline your child. There has to be consequence or they learn nothing. And if you don't discipline them, they end up hating you down the road because you didn't love them enough to give them boundaries. And they're completely out of control. So heaven forbid, God forbid, you're certainly not. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Then jump down to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Again, God forbid, certainly not. Heaven forbid, don't live that way. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this one, there's a bunch of these in the Bible, but these seem like some good no-brainer ones. And some people say, well, why do you read verses like this? There's nobody like this in our church or near our church. So good luck with that. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ, okay? So your body, members of Christ, and make them members of a harlot. Then join yourself to a prostitute. And what does he say? God forbid, certainly not. Heaven forbid, shouldn't be possible. You know why these things are in the Bible? Because this stuff happens. Whether we like it or not, or want to talk about it or not, this is a crazy planet. And things go on. And so some of these no-brainer things, heaven forbid, that, you know, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. All right, Galatians chapter 6. And look at this. Paul here writing as well. He says, verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So the guys who are circumcised, they're not even doing the right thing, but they want you to go say, well, yeah, but we got him to come over to our side. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Don't boast in anything. You say, well, but I was raised here and with this, and this is my background. Let me tell you something. The only background that matters is whether you have Jesus and you understand that he died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and that is your only hope. You say, well, I was raised this and I went to that church. Good for you. That won't fix it. It doesn't do you any good to be, you know, dyed in the wool something if you haven't been washed in the blood. Go to Acts chapter 8. And then I'm going to read something out of Romans 6 again, where we were a second ago, and then we'll be done. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit of a story here to give you an idea what can go on out there. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now, Saul was consenting to his death, and he's talking here about Stephen, who had been stoned to death, and Saul, who became Paul, was holding everybody's clothes while this went down. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So sometimes he uses persecution to get you off your butt and somewhere else doing his work. You say, well, I got fired because I'm a Christian. You got transferred. Stop whining about losing your job and go do your job somewhere else. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So up till now, it's not Philip, it's Simon who had the game in this town. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with all his sorceries for a long time. The devil has game. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then look at this. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. He had game, but he didn't have this kind of game. So now look how this natural progression. He's a brand new Christian. Stop expecting brand new Christians to act like mature Christians. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as of yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw, now this was a whole other deal. He's like, these miracles, one thing. But when he saw them lay hands and boom, the Holy Spirit falls on these people. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offers them money. Hey, I'd like to cut a little deal here. You guys got something happened right there. How about I give you some cash and you give me whatever, you know, power you've got? You think, well, that's crazy. You can't buy the power of God. There are people doing it every day, thinking that heaven is forbid. So look what they say. He says, give me this power also, that anyone who I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You need to underline that. You cannot purchase a gift of God with money. Heaven is not up for bid. It is all a gift. It is all free. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So he does repent. Now, let me read you two more verses here. And one of them's in Romans 6 and then one's in Ephesians. And some of you know these by heart. And it's so simple. Romans chapter 6, in the context of what I just read, says this. The wages of sin is death. If you choose the path of sin, what you get paid for working sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what did we just read about a gift? A gift of God. You cannot purchase that with money or anything else. Now you say, well, why do you keep going over this simple thing? Because we are surrounded with people who have this feeling that, well, I'm a nice person and I give money to this charity and I go visit old people, you know, whatever you're doing. You think I'm doing all these things and somehow I am, you know, maybe Jesus made the deposit and I'm making the payments and together we're gonna get this deal bought. You have nothing to do with buying this. There was an auction on a hill far away where an old rugged cross stood and only one bidder. And Jesus made the payment. He paid the price. And if heaven was forbid, he is the only one that could make that bid and buy me.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
I am trying in the limited English that I have to keep saying this over and over as simply as I can. At some point, you have to look into heaven and look into God's eyes and you say, you know what? I think I finally get it. You know, it's kind of doing this. I got nothing. I got nothing. I pull my pocket. I got nothing. I can't pay you. He goes, I know. That's the deal. And you say, but I got nothing to offer you. And you're going to offer me everything, but I can't pay. I can't purchase this, right? He says, no, it's not for sale. Already been bought and paid for. The only way you get this is to put out your little hands and let me put something in them, me. And put something in you, me. And say thank you and accept this gift, because that's what it is. It is a gift. And every day that you get from now on is just that. It is a gift. So you wake up and you go, God, I'm here again. I got a gift of another day of life. I got the gift of you living in me. I have this gift of the forgiveness of my sins, eternal life. It's all a gift. Every day is Christmas. Every day is Christmas. And you screw up and you go down and you go, Lord, I screwed up again. I don't want to live this way. He says, well, here, let me help you up. And here's some more forgiveness. You go, I'm wrong. He says, I know it. I made provision for that too. Let's keep moving. And the other one, Ephesians says, for by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I have nothing to do with any of it, except that I said, okay, I'll take it. I am still a selfish pig at times, but I don't have to live that way, and I don't have to die that way.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.